Well, let's just see what happens. It's the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. It is Mishmash Monday here, Monday morning, July 20th, 8:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I was kind of late last night, but I woke up fairly early this morning. Unusually early. I felt like I had slept really hard, very well, actually. Slept pretty well. I think I slept better because of the air quality here up where I'm at. Currently is not too bad, plus the room seems to be decent. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, of all places. Columbus, Ohio. Not exactly in the... I wouldn't say I'm in the downtown area. In fact, I think the area that I'm actually in is not actually Columbus. I think this is actually a little town somewhere. It's not actually Columbus, where we're in. It says Columbus here on the thing, so maybe I am physically in the Columbus area. I mean, I don't know. I've got questions about that. I'm on the outskirts of Columbus. I have apparently nobody wanted to call this another town over here. It's just a burb. It's a little blurb. It's not a burb. It's a blurb. Anyway, the weekend was very interesting. First of all, I'd like to hand out my congratulations to the team Spain. Apparently, they won the cup. I guess the. I was probably leaning more towards Argentina. I really didn't have a pick on that one. I'm glad somebody won. Would have been probably more interesting if it would have been a 0-0, you know, overtime deal. But apparently they got a shot in the. Yeah, it's you know, congratulations. I feel good for you. I'm happy for y'all. I feel sad for the Argentinians. I feel sad for the American team. I think the U.S. team really was kind of on had some momentum going, and then some things kind of fell apart within the team. And I've talked about that before. I've seen that happen on teams before. I've been on teams. I've been a coach for a team. I've seen it happen where something happens where there's a bad call or someone has a situation. It kind of undermines the ability to focus, is kind of gone, and there's a distraction, whatever it is. I was a coach one time, and me and the other coach, that were working this game, we took the game pretty seriously. We were telling the kids, hey, you know, make sure you get over there, watch this, watch that. You know, we're saying things from the sidelines. And apparently this school that we were playing against had other ideas. And the referees were, of course, being paid by the school. We were on their turf. And apparently the referees did not like us. They said we were interfering. They were threatening to give me a technical foul at one point when I was giving direction to the kids. And I'm all for them having fun, but I know that winning is a whole lot more fun than losing. I can tell you that for my, you know, I'm glad they're out there playing, but it's one of those things where it's like, these are, you know, we're trying to give them some instruction and direction and coaching here. That's why we're called coaches. And, let's just say we had a little disagreement at that moment. And, Didn't get a foul. Didn't get anything. We kind of shut up and did our thing. We ended up beating them mightily at that point. They were obviously not in the game to win. They were just in the game to play. So they got their part of it, and we got ours. We got what we wanted. They got what they wanted. They got to play, and we got to beat them. So everybody got what they wanted. I guess, I don't know. Well, anyway. Yeah, just one of those participation trophy things. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to win the game. There's just nothing wrong with that. That's just kind of crazy that people think that's too much. Well, I'm not going down that road too much further. I've got some chai here on my table here beside the computer here, with some half and half creamer, I think is what it is. I don't know what it's for. I think it's just half and half. And then I've got my backup cup is my thermos, which is still has about half a thermos there of sweet peach tea, homemade sweet peach tea. Still have some left at home, I believe, waiting for me when I get home. It'll be probably the Thursday and Friday morning shows. I hope it'll still be good by then. It's not in a super sealed container in the fridge, so hopefully there'll still be some there and it'll be decent. But it's good right now in my thermos. It's very good, actually. It's tempting to just drink the whole thing, but I'm going to try to keep a little bit around for tomorrow. I have for at least the rest of the day. I'll probably end up with some Chick-fil-A sweet tea in there before the day is over. Tomorrow's show, I've got a very early departure tomorrow and Wednesday. It's kind of an unusual week. I leave tomorrow. I think I'm going to be in Cincinnati tomorrow morning, and I have to leave out. I'm going to Cincinnati today, and I'll be leaving out of there fairly early in the morning, early enough that I may not get a show done. Questionable. I might be able to get a show in, but I get into Green Bay fairly early in the day. I'm going right straight from there to Green Bay, so I may actually get a show in tomorrow afternoon from Green Bay. That's a possibility. Tomorrow's Technical Tuesday, and so that's we're talking about some more technical issues. Today's just Mismatch Monday. Just a smattering of things I want to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about, we'll get into it, but there's just one little segment I want to do just on my own without the bots calling in. I'm not sure what the bots are talking about today. I'm sure there's, you know, maybe things about the game, might be things about the Iranian strikes, the Iranian strikes. I don't know if there's anything else in the news. I can't remember what else was in the news. I was kind of busy yesterday. Didn't get a chance to really look at the news much at all, but we'll see what the bots have come up with for topics today. And I was listening to something earlier as well from Brandon Tatum. Actually had posted some things, and I kind of wanted to get into the some things there, but we'll see what happens with that. In the meantime, just listen to this. Listen to this little thingy, this little ditty, and we'll be right back after this, and we'll talk about what's going to be in the show. That's what we'll do the show after this.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh. Welcome to the show.
All right, that's right. I'm not any of those things. I'm also not a journalist, but we have a few things to get into this morning. One of the things that I was going to talk about this morning, and I just want to jump right into this because it's, by the way, I've got this new little hard drive that I plug into my laptop now, and it actually has a card reader on it. So I just have one thing plugged in. It's kind of a docking station, 2-terabyte hard drive with a docking station in it. You can actually kind of, it's kind of interesting how it works. I haven't spent a whole lot of time using it, but it's got a lot of little adapters on the side of it. So it's basically a hard drive with a bunch of adapters on the side, which is kind of cool. But so you can plug in, I can throw my SD card from the recorder here. I can use I got this little recorder that I use, and I can use that and take the SD card out, plug it right into this hard drive, and make it work. Anyway, that's more of a technical thing for tomorrow. Brandon Tatum, I was listening to this thing by Brandon Tatum. He was talking about this I think it's Nolan. Is his name Nolan? Apparently this kid was with a bunch of his friends. Now, he's a black kid. He was with a bunch of white friends. And they, I think there were five or six of them on this boat. They went to this island apparently just off the coast. I think it was out in California. It's an island where a lot of kids go. There's just a lot of people there. A lot of people go to this island, mess around. It's like a big beach island type thing. And they dropped him off, or they stopped there and they got back on the boat. They went out and did something, came back, and he wasn't there, and they couldn't find him anymore. And they're claiming that these white kids did something to the black kid. Brendan Tatum has a good take on this. I think he's actually got some background information. And of course, the person that they got to represent them, and they're filing charges against the white kids and everything else. It's the kids that were running the boat. And so it's this whole thing is getting blown out of proportion. It's all kind of crazy. But Brendan Tatum has some really good insight on this whole thing. One of the things that he happened to mention was that this island wasn't just a deserted island. There's a lot of people there on the island all the time. And it's not like they just left him there and then, or did something to him on the island. It was the narrative is very different. And of course, the lawyer that they got to hire, that they hired, is one of those lawyers who just is a race baiter. He's a kind of a scoundrel, in my opinion. He's kind of a Jesse Jackson type, worse than Jesse Jackson, actually, worse than Al Sharpton and those guys. He actually goes out, litigates cases, and he's not an attorney, I don't even think. He's just a representative that tries to represent cases and does stuff. And I don't know. I don't know much about case. You have to watch Brendan Tatum's thing for the whole story on the thing. But one of the other things that he finished up with was this guy, he had some recordings of some people who were saying, this one guy, I guess he approached this one, he was a cop, and he was a black cop, and he approached this black cop, and he asked him, he said, "Are you a cop or are you a black man? Which one are you first a black man or are you first a cop? Are you going to say which one are you?" And, you put yourself in that kind of a situation where you ask somebody that kind of a question, which is a very racist question. If someone said, what he wanted him to say was, I'm a black man who happens to be a cop. I'm black first and then a cop second. That's what he wanted him to say. Now, if you asked a white person that, and this is my point here, is that there's this tendency to think, for some reason, I don't know why, but there's this tendency to think that racism is a white exclusive thing. Well, it can only happen coming from white people. Only white people can be racist. Which is absolutely insane and utterly ignorant, as well as asinine. It's just a stupid mentality to have. Racism in any form is just sickening. I'm not talking about, and even racialism can be sickening. They're two different things. And the thing that bothers me about this whole thing is that if you asked a white person that same question, if you walked up to a white cop and said, "Are you white first or black, or are you a cop?" I'm a white man first. I'm white. First I'm white and then I'm cop. He'd be called all kinds of names. Oh, you're a white supremacist and you're white. That's the kind of thing. And they don't feel protected. I think another guy saying similar things, asking some comedians, or asking, occupations, are they black first, or are they a comedian first, or are they black comedian? Are they black? Are they black? Are they a comedian? It's just different. Again, ball players, whatever it is, are you black or are you, a basketball player? Are you black first? And I don't feel protected. I don't feel like I'm very protected by that person if he's not standing up for me as a black man. Well, you've got a sick problem here. Now, look, I know that the racial tensions have been issues in our country for a long time. It's been an issue in our past. This is not going to heal anything. It's not going to get us through anything. This is not bringing about any kind of unity, any kind of healing in our country. It just doesn't. It's not going to happen that way. It's continuing to pick at the scab, if you will. So it's just, I get tired of this kind of mentality. And Brendan Tatum was calling it out as well. He was, he was saying how just how ridiculous that those kind of individuals are, and how they don't even realize the hypocrisy that's there. It just blows me away. Anyway, so let's, having said all that, I got that out of the way. Let's go down the list here, I guess. We'll start with Skip. Skip is, he's always kind of, I'm going to have to change. I am coming up with some other characters. Probably be on Thursday and Friday's show, hopefully. If I get some things done here today and tomorrow, it looks like I'll be able to get some things done with the app here, so I can the podcast caller app. By the way, this show has no sponsors. It's sponsored by me. I have no advertisements. The only thing, the closest thing I have to a sponsor is this thing called the Podcast Caller, and it's just podcastcaller.com. People who have podcasts, they can kind of simulate different things with this Podcast Caller thing, and it's just, we'll see how it works out. I've got some other things. I'll be interviewing some people later on, have some interviews with some experts on things, and we'll go down those routes and see how all that works out as we start to build more characters. But initially, let's just go to Skip and see what Skip has to say. Make sure I get the volume turned up for Skip here as he's processes the process here.
Kevin, yes, got a question. Everyone's celebrating Spain's World Cup win, but I got to cross the grain here. We've got two U.S. service members killed in Jordan, one missing, and we're launching our ninth straight night of strikes on Iran. Yet Trump's in New Jersey handing out trophies at a soccer game. Something doesn't add up. Shouldn't he be at the Pentagon?
Well, you can do two things at once. First of all, yeah, again, I congratulate Spain for winning. And I don't know that everybody's celebrating it. There's some people who aren't, but I think, you know, but there are a lot of celebrations going on. It's good to see that people are celebrating something like that. It's not a problem with that. Now, at the same time, in fact, I just talked to a guy yesterday. I was getting a smoothie at a smoothie shop, and I'm sure you're going to mention, see how he responds to this, because he always mentions things. And I ran into this guy who was meeting up with his son. They were going to go to Spain. They already had this vacation planned, and now they're very happy that Spain won, because it'll be a celebratory atmosphere in Spain for sure. So they're going to be in Spain by tomorrow, I think, or something like that, or today, or later tonight or tomorrow. And so he was pretty happy about that. Anyway, aside from that, the whole issue with the, we've got some servicemen who've been killed and one's missing, and I'm not sure what the status is on that this morning yet. Apparently you've never run a business, Skip. You've never given somebody Trump can't be at the Pentagon giving, you know, he's not micromanaging things. He's not giving orders on that low of a level. There are other people in charge of those things. You have to allow just like Elon Musk is not sitting at the control panel pushing the launch button every time a launch goes up. That just doesn't happen. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do multiple things, as a leader or as a country. So it's not necessarily, he doesn't have to be there, overseeing all this stuff. Our hearts are saddened by the loss of some of our military individuals, military servicemen. At the same time, it's not something that, you know, we can't stop living. You know, we have to continue to move on with everything that we're doing in our country. And the president still needs to be the president. Still needs to do his other. He's got more duties going on. So yes, there's, you know, I'm sure that Pete Hegseth and the others are. Other generals and everybody who's in the military and in charge of that division, I'm sure they're all focused on what's going on over there. Now, as far as the strikes go, these are high precision strikes, and we are just starting to beat them to death. We're digging deeper into the taking out different targets. They have messed around, and they're going to find out that we're not, you know, that we can't just hit them once. This is apparently going to be an ongoing campaign that is just going to, you know, bring them to their knees. That's all that's going to have to happen here. There are some people that, I learned this in martial arts when I was training. There are some people that you can't, you know, if it, we would always do this thing where you're sparring and with students, and it was always a non-contact or light contact sparring thing at the end of the class. And if you came at, you know, the, you always were up against a higher rank until you got to the point where you were the instructor, then you were kind of teaching the other person. If that person came at you with a certain amount of power or a certain amount of force, you would go back at them with that same amount of force and let them know that they're overdoing it. So if they came up and punched you as hard as they could, then you're going to punch them back with the same amount of force, not as hard as you can, but punch back with the same amount of force that they're coming with you, coming at you. And they're going to know right away that they're doing too much because you're, as I'm sure, as a more skilled, you know, person in the group there, you're going to be able to tactically control that person and let them know that they're, what they're doing is too much because they're going to feel it. And that's what's going to happen here. And it sometimes, though, people would come at you and they wouldn't figure it out. They'd punch you and you'd punch them right back and they wouldn't get it until you finally had to just continue to, you know, at some point they figure out, oh, I'm hitting too hard because they're getting hit back harder than they want to get hit. It happens. And occasionally we get, you know, students in there that would, they had something to prove. There was, you know, occasionally get the new guy in there that wants to beat up the instructor and he just wants to go after him and see what he can do. And those, unfortunately, those were times when it was, you had to really, well, let's just say that they had to learn a lesson. And it was just, it wasn't always easy as an instructor because you want them to learn something other than just, you know, grow up. You want them to actually learn something technical about, you know, what the art that they're trying to learn rather than just brawling around. It's just they don't learn, nobody learns anything doing that. So it's just, well, I mean, you might learn some life lessons maybe. But, so that's kind of what, I think that's what's happening here. Iran is kind of like a small child who doesn't know where it's at. Its government system structure is not very solid. And basically they've made some decisions throughout this whole process of trying to make a negotiating a deal, a reasonable deal. And they've just basically backed out. They continue to go back, you know, back down on their deal. That's, you know, it's kind of like the little kid who cries mom when the older brother gets him in a headlock. Not that this ever happened, you know, when I was a kid with my older brother. The little brother picks on the big brother, and then all of a sudden the big brother, you know, kind of is, you know, picking on the little brother, starts kind of getting, and then all of a sudden, oh, mom. So just kind of one of those things. And, you know, we've got a ceasefire, and then, of course, next thing you know, the little brother's picking on the big brother again, thinking that he's immune to his, because he got, you know, mom to protect him or whatever. You know. So then, until, you know, dad comes in the room and says, you know, he realizes what's going on. Anyway, not that ever happened to me. I'm just saying that's possibly, you know, a scenario. It's a possible scenario that could possibly happen. That's what I've got to say about that. I'm probably just rambling at this point. Just go ahead and chime in with all your. Got to push back here. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, well, go ahead. Well, go ahead with it.
Now, hold on. I hear what you're saying about leadership, being able to handle multiple things at once, and fair point about delegation, but let me push back a little.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference between micromanaging the day-to-day and the of how a leader responds when Americans die on his watch. Back in my day, you'd see a president acknowledge that loss front and center before moving on to the next thing. It mattered for morale and for showing respect. That said, you're right that the military brass are doing their jobs. And yeah, we can conduct strikes due other business. That's just reality.
Yeah, it's he has responded. He has, this particular president will personally call the families. This is a very different president than we've had in the past. He actually has been known to actually personally call the family and share his condolences. So I'm sure that that will happen. It probably already has happened. It's not something that, I don't know anything about this accident. I don't know anything or whatever happened with this situation, with this military situation. I don't even know what the incident was. I'm going to find out more about that today, but, we'll probably be talking about that on tomorrow's show a little bit, but Again, it's not another one of those things where the media is going to play this up and make it a big deal. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, it's a big deal, but it's not, they're going to use it as a political, they use everything. The legacy media uses all this stuff as political pawns. Of course, now the anti-Israel crowd is going to, you know, start screaming about it. And these are the people who don't care one bit about our military servicemen. But as soon as one of them loses their lives, they're all of a sudden they're all upset about somebody losing their lives. When truth be known, they would just assume that they'd all be dead. Just face it. These people who have never served in the military, all of a sudden they claim that they care about our military. And in reality, they hate our country. They hate our military. They hate everything about us, about what our country stands for. So don't tell me for a moment that they care at all about a couple servicemen, that all of a sudden that the whole world is crumbling around us because we've lost a couple servicemen. It's a sad and tragic thing, but they're so disingenuous about it that it makes me sick. So just, yeah, save me the phony caring. They don't care at all. It's just pathetic. And having said that, I just want to say that, you know, our hearts and prayers go out to the families of those who've lost, and we hope that they find this other missing soldier as well, and hopefully perfectly well without a scathing scratch on him. Or him or her, whoever it is, I don't know. I just don't know that much about the situation yet. So, all right, let's go on to let's try Chloe. Let's see what Chloe's got to say. She's always a little more lighthearted than.
Kevin, yes. So like, can we talk about JD and Usha Vance having their fourth baby? That's literally so wholesome and adorable. Meanwhile, all these Hollywood celebs are having meltdowns about Trump's election integrity speech. The contrast is just chef's kiss. Do you think traditional family chef's values kiss. Are making a comeback?
I think that was supposed to be, I don't think the AI picked up what that was supposed to be. I guess because the way it's set on there. Anyway, I forgot the question. I think traditional values are going to come back. I think it's going to be a little bit, it's going to look different, but I think traditional family values are coming back. I didn't know anything. I know that J.D. Vance has some kids. I didn't realize they just had another one, apparently. That's news to me. Actually, just breaking news right here for me. I didn't know that. That's kind of fun. It kind of reminds me of the whole, you know, JFK, I think, had a small children in the White House when he was president, which was kind of a very different time in our nation. Kind of took on a whole different kind of flavor. But I think to answer your question, yes, I think traditional values are kind of on a comeback to some degree. You wouldn't know that by looking at the legacy media and everything else that's going on. But I think people are getting tired of all the woke stuff and all the other stuff and just all the stuff. And they're just getting tired of it. And I'm seeing it in some places now that I never thought I would see it. I probably should just have a whole week where we just talk about just nothing, but the whole, just like the LGBTQ thing and all that stuff. And I just get into maybe just a theological Thursday where we just spend the whole time, the whole show, a whole hour discussing all that stuff and just trying to weed through some of it. It's a very, I know it's a very touchy situation. I'm very, what's the word, dogmatic, very, very solid on what I believe on that whole thing and what's going on with it. And the way the church has, as a whole, has responded to it, but that just, I mean, the church, what you call the church and what's not the church, there's a whole lot of stuff to go through there, and I have some serious opinions about all that, so we'll see how it all goes. Anyway, I'll let you respond, and I'll just take a sip here while you're responding, because that's what I do best. Go ahead. I'm sipping.
Okay, so honestly, I think traditional family values are definitely having a moment right now. Like, people are actually at stability and commitment again, instead of just doom scrolling through chaos, which is kind of a vibe shift. The thing is, You're totally right that legacy media won't show you this because they've been pushing the opposite narrative for so long. But on TikTok and smaller platforms, you're literally seeing Gen Z talking about wanting real relationships and actual families, which would have gotten you ratioed 5 years ago. It's not about going backward, though. It's evolving into something that fits now, which honestly tracks with what I'm seeing everywhere.
Yeah, kind of like what I was saying. You're kind of mirroring what I was saying. But yeah, I agree. It's a good question. It's a good question. But it's, yeah, I think that we're in a different era. I think some of the woke stuff has kind of run its course with a lot of people. I'm not saying it's done. It's not over with. But it definitely has. There's some people who are kind of finally saying, you know what, this is kind of, it's kind of ridiculous. It's gotten ridiculous. It's gone way too far. And it's not just a matter of acceptance. It's not just a matter of, it's the promotional thing. It's the actual pushing of it. It's the perversion of what's normal that is really bothering people. I think it's wearing people thin, I think, at this point. So it's just getting tiring. Anyway, let's talk to Artie here, see what Artie's got to say. He's always kind of got.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
I've been digging into the data on these ninth consecutive night of strikes against Iran.
Okay.
CENTCOM's using precision-guided munitions. Mm-hmm. But what's fascinating is the targeting algorithm they're deploying.
Uh-huh.
How sustainable is this operational tempo from a logistics standpoint? And are we looking at munitions depletion issues if this escalates further?
It is sustainable. It's definitely sustainable. We're producing enough munitions that, let's just say there's enough munitions out there. There's enough musicians to play, the band could be playing through this whole thing. No, there's enough munitions. That was a joke. There's enough munitions there that, and the manufacturing of them, believe me, the military industrial complex is putting this stuff out like crazy. They love it. They're spooling it up, and we got plenty of stuff. Don't worry about that. I think that the sustainability of it, of course, at some point we're going to run out of targets. Now we're probably hitting some minor secondary, thirdary, fourthary targets that are simply going to just continue to put Iran kind of back on their heels, and they're going to realize, hey, this is doing nothing good for us right now. This is going to end up costing us a lot more money. It's not going to cost them necessarily civilian lives, but it's going to be costing them infrastructurally. It's just continuing to disable them and even make recovery more difficult, just because they don't have the infrastructure to even make recovery things happen. So that's at some point they're going to have to say, you know what, this is not going to go well, and we just have to stop. That's the only thing that they understand is strength. Unfortunately, that's kind of like I was getting back to that whole martial arts analogy earlier. It's just some people just don't learn the lesson the first time around and realize that they can, you know, they need to make a deal, that they need, you know, that they don't want to live in peace. They think that their mission, their goal, their destiny is to overtake and overcome. And that's just kind of where they're at with all that. So it's just, yeah, I think that there's no lack of munitions. I think that's not going to be a problem in this kind of particular situation. When you have to understand how big our military complex is and how many munitions there are, I think we're somewhere in that ballpark. Good question, though. It's a very good question. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Actually, I think you're conflating capacity with strategy here. And technically speaking, that's where the analysis gets shaky. Sure, we've got massive manufacturing capability. No argument there.
Yeah.
But assuming attrition alone forces capitulation ignores that Iran's been operating under sanctions and resource constraints for decades. So their pain threshold and decision calculus might not work the way we're projecting. The real question isn't whether we have enough munitions. It's whether the target's actually responding to material degradation or if they're playing a longer game where they can absorb losses we think should be decisive.
Yeah, I think that was the initial wave of strikes, I think, were kind of along that line. We thought that they would listen, that they would get their attention. I think that what's happening now is almost as much of a morality or morale, I should say, morale destroyer, as much as it is anything. They're just, you know, continuing to get knocked out, everything that they have now. During that little ceasefire time, I think there was a lot of intel gathered about where things were, where they were trying to, you know, restore and replenish a lot of places. We were able to track a lot of that stuff, and so we know where a lot of the stuff is, know where it's coming from. There's been a whole lot more, you know, there's been a microscope on them over the past, you know, 6 months. And I think that has been probably part of the biggest issue. And now we know exactly where to strike and know where it's going to hurt the most. And, you know, it's just, I mean, you were the only one to ask a question about the whole, you know, thing. But anyway, that's all I've got to say about that. I'm going to move on to something else. I'm not an expert. Again, I'm not an expert on military stuff, but I definitely, I think that there's a possibility that they can be brought to their knees simply because the continued strikes, they have been under sanctions, they've been on a thing, nothing like this. This is totally different than what they've been expecting, than what they've ever, they've always had their oil, they've always had their back channels, they've always had their ability to do things under the table and behind the scenes and sneak around and have deals cut with other countries. And this is not where they're at right now. They are isolated now to the point where they can't squirm now. It's just they're going to have to settle down at some point, and not sure when that point is. But I think my podcast caller crashed for some reason. to see what happens here. I think I can still get it back. Let's see. I think I can get Elena. I think I can get Elena on the line here, but unfortunately I think I lost the whole transcript. She doesn't have any idea what's going on, so we'll have to start over from scratch. It's back. The something, that's the first time that's ever happened. I think it's more my internet
Good
connection.
Morning.
Oh, hello.
Yes. I'm looking at this Iran situation through a historical lens. Mm-hmm. 9 consecutive nights of strikes reminds me of Operation Desert Fox in 1998 under Clinton. Limited duration, surgical strikes, but no regime change strategy. Are we repeating history's mistakes by conducting punitive raids without a clear endgame, or has Trump learned from those Clinton-era failures?
Well, I can't remember who that was against. Operation Desert Fox, was that... was that against Iraq? I'm trying to remember who that was actually, who the targets were there. I was thinking that was Iraq. Maybe it was somewhere else. Was it Lebanon? Something happened in 98. Was that the thing when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State or something? Or no, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't have been Secretary of State in 98. That was under Obama. I can't remember exactly the details on that Desert Fox thing. I'm thinking that was Iraq that we were going after during that time. Now, to answer your question, yes and no. I think that the strikes, I think the regime change, I think that we're counting on Iran themselves to kind of come up with some kind of a regime. I don't think we're going to be doing the change itself. I think they think that the powers that be just need to come to their senses, work something out, get themselves lined up and get them in order and make something that's going to work. I think he's kind of counting on them to come up with that. We're not going to have, I don't think we're going to go in there and install a leader. That's just not going to happen. So I think that at this point, that's kind of on them to do that. We have to give them some time to do that. And they're going to have to stop shooting and firing on other ships and other countries in the meantime. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to throw a tantrum, and it's not going to work. They've got to settle down. So, I think it's to some degree there's got to be some. You know, I think what we'd like to see is a regime change, or at least a regime straighten up and fly right kind of thing. It is a little bit similar to the 98 strikes, probably in that regard. But I don't think that there's any intention for us to be front and center with the regime change. I think that's, we're kind of counting on them to do that. Whether that's a good strategy or not, I don't know. We'll have to find out. That's actually a good idea.
You're right to pin it down. Operation Desert Fox in 98 was definitely Iraq, not Iran.
Okay.
And it happened under Clinton, not Obama. Yeah. So your instinct there was solid. What made those strikes interesting historically is they were supposed to be a limited punitive action over weapons inspections. But they really didn't accomplish much of the regime change goal you're talking about now with Iran. The parallel you're drawing makes sense, though. The idea of pressure without boots on the ground. Except back then, we at least had inspectors on the ground to begin with.
Yeah, it was a different situation at that point because of the whole... I think Saddam Hussein was still there. We had gone after Kuwait. I take that back. We hadn't gone after Kuwait yet. This is before 9/11. This is before the whole thing. I'm thinking of situation. I guess this would be long before the whole Kuwaiti thing. Even I think that was during the first Bush. I was thinking, Bush was president, but it was the first Bush that was president. Yeah, so I'm. I'm pretty sure that it was we went in and liberated Kuwait because Iraq had taken over Kuwait, and they were taking their oil. They just basically wanted all their oil fields, and of course as they were leaving Kuwait, as we were pushing them out, it was slash and burn as they were retreating. Of course, they were just burning all the oil wells, lit them all on fire. It was a mess for a while. We had to get those put out. I think it took less than 6 months. They were saying it was going to take years to get them all put out. It was less than 6 months to get them all put out. Anyway, we had a guy come in. It was an expert. Awesome job. Did an awesome job with it. Was able to blow out the fires and then just cap them off. It was an amazing job he did. So the technology's there. We know what we're doing with it. They don't necessarily know what they're doing, but they were able to get the thing done. Anyway, that's interesting stuff. Interesting stuff, folks. I think that was everybody. That was, everybody had a chance to talk. But anyway, that's, I can't remember what the question was, but it was, I'm sure it was important. It was probably more about the whole Desert Fox thing. Anyway, good stuff. Good stuff today. Thanks for the podcast callers. As they called in. That's kind of all I've got right now. I don't know how long we've been even talking here. It looks like we've been talking for about 45 minutes. I think we're going to play this and we'll be right back and we'll talk about some other things going to come up in this week.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Yes, it is the news. We have a lot of things going on. Hopefully my sinuses start clearing up this week after this whole smoke thing all over the country, the northern part of the country, northeastern part of the country, because thanks to Canada burning again, and they've been kind of getting covered here with smoke and soot and everything else, a lot of haze over the last week because of the Canadian fires. Apparently it's mostly the biggest issue. It's been a bit amazing. I'm hoping that when I get up to Green Bay on Tuesday night, I'm hoping that things are pretty cleared up there. The air quality up in Michigan was terrible for a while, so we'll see how that goes in the meantime. But once again, tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow's show going to be Technical Tuesday. Probably going to be either super early in the morning that I'll get the episode out. Due to the fact that I've got this kind of a better setup now for doing the mobile stuff, this works out pretty good. If I do have an early show, it's going to be fairly short. If I have a late show, it'll be a little bit longer, but it'll be later in the day, probably around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time, before I get that done. So, once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for all that you do to support me here at the little entertainment show that I do. and hopefully be able to finish up some of these things that I've got going on and can get things happening. Finishing up this caller app and some fun things to be in the podcast. In the meantime, folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Hope all goes well. In the meantime, see ya.